Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Who knows the will of God better? So when I speak in tongues, I am literally giving him permission to flood my heart with God's will. This is why you cannot just run around and speak tongues by heart. And the excesses of that have made many people shun away from it.
Life is a journey, and as in every journey, you need a roadmap. Today on Your Roadmap to Success, you will receive detailed instructions on how to navigate through life successfully. Welcome to Your Roadmap to Success with author and teacher, Neil Achampong.
I want to talk to you all today on the subject, why speak in tongues? Say that with me. No, say it like you mean it. Come on, everybody. So let's personalize it. Why I should speak in tongues? Amen. So we've been studying the book of Acts. And in our last lesson, we saw the difference the Holy Spirit made in the life of Peter. We saw Peter's former life, and then we saw after the Holy Spirit baptism upon his life with the evidence of speaking in tongues, how Peter flipped around. The same guy that was making decisions the wrong way now becomes a very powerful speaker. He delivers a sermon, and many gave their life to Christ. Amen. Now, in Acts chapter 2, there is something very, very important. And I realize that there are many who are fighting over it. The scripture says, when the Holy Spirit arrived, they spoke in tongues. Everybody say they spoke in tongues. Now, I am not going to assume, so I will read pretty much every scripture. And I might end up reading almost about 15 to 20 scriptures today. The reason is this. Sometimes we carry error and we do not know we are carrying error. And today I don't want us to continue to carry error. We want to settle this matter once and for all. Amen. Our lesson will follow four things. Number one, we will look at the connection. The connection, we will examine the connection between being filled with the Spirit and the speaking of tongues. We will examine that connection. There are many people who disconnect it, but it has something to do with it. The connection, that is when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, when we are baptized with the Spirit, its connection to the speaking of tongues. Secondly, we will examine the controversy. There are a lot of controversy concerning this subject, and I want to take time to expose you to the controversy that exists out there. Thirdly, we will look at the conviction. How do I arrive at a place of conviction that this is a gift that I cannot do without? So as a child of God, I must desire this gift. Are you ready to go on the journey? So what are the four things we'll look at? The connection, the controversy, the conviction, and the commitment that I need to make as a child of God. Amen. So let's begin today by looking at the connection. And I want to use a question and an answer method today. Is there a connection between being filled with the Spirit and speaking in tongues? Is there a connection? We want to examine the Bible. Turn with me to the book of John chapter 7. Jesus, before the arrival of the Holy Spirit, was speaking to his disciples and reminding them of the importance of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And in John chapter 7, he has this words to say. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me," everybody say, "the one who believes in me." "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart," the traditional King James says, "out of his belly will flow rivers of living water." Now, it sounds weird. So now Jesus is explaining it. Verse 39, "But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet," what? "Glorified." His glorification came after the resurrection. And the scripture says, when Jesus died and he came back to life, he was resurrected, the first thing he did is found in the book of John again. Go to John chapter 20, and let's begin to examine what Jesus did. Are you in John chapter 20? I need you to look at verse 22. This is after his resurrection. Everybody, if you can read with me from the screen, that will be great. Are you ready? Shall we? Go. "And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit." Jesus died to prepare the human body so that it becomes easier for the Holy Spirit to come and live in us once again. So he resurrects, meets his disciples, and the first thing he does is to breathe on them. Literally, like God the Father breathed on Adam, his spirit. And Jesus said, "Receive the Spirit." Are you guys with me? If the disciples received the Holy Spirit at this point, then we must examine another scripture, because after he breathed on them, he tells them to go and wait for the Holy Spirit. Is Jesus contradicting himself? I don't think so. He knows exactly what he is saying. Because everybody says stages. Say it again, stages. The Holy Spirit is the only one who can make you born again. It is his presence indwelling in your life that brings you to a place of salvation. But there ought to be another level, which we call not the indwelling, but the infilling, where he must come upon you in greater measure so that you can do the work of the Father. Did you guys copy that? So look there with me in the book of Luke chapter 24. After Jesus breathed on them, he says to them in the book of Luke chapter 24 and verse 19, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Fast forward, you come to the book of Acts chapter 1, and you begin to realize Jesus repeats himself. And then in verse 8 of the book of Acts chapter 1, he says, "But you will receive that power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." Did you guys copy that? On the day of Pentecost, the promise came to pass. Acts chapter 2, look at the fourth verse. "Because when the Holy Spirit descended, something happened." The Bible says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues." Traditional King James says, "unknown tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance." The NIV would say, "as the Holy Spirit enabled them." In other words, you do not speak in tongues by your own act. It is the Holy Spirit that must what? Enable you. So we see here that the first time that these disciples are having a second experience. Jesus breathed on them. Now the Spirit comes upon them. And they speak in glossolalia. That's a Greek word for tongues. For it simply means languages. Are you guys with me? Let's examine the scriptures again. Acts chapter 8. The scripture says, when they have all been dispersed, young people, I need you to understand this. It is important. I spoke in tongues when I was 10 years old. You are far above that. You can do it. The Spirit of God gives, and you must desire for it. Are you here with me today? Acts chapter 8, verse 14 to verse 17. The scripture says, the people there have received the message of God through Philip, and they have come to give their lives to Christ. And notice what happens in verse 14, Acts chapter 8. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. The people were already saved. The Holy Spirit has already been in their lives. The indwelling has taken place. But now they are praying for a second level of experience that comes with power. Verse 16, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them. He had what? Fallen. In other words, he has come to indwell them, but the use of a phrase, you know, English sometimes can be problematic, all right? But he has not come upon them. He has not fallen on them the same way he fell on the apostles on the day of Pentecost. For as yet he had not fallen upon none of them, they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. How did they receive the Holy Spirit this time? They lay hands on them. On the day of Pentecost, nobody laid their hands on them because it was the first time the Holy Spirit descended on his own. Are you guys following me? So we see in these two cases that there is a connection. Remember, we examined the connection. There is a connection between being filled and the speaking of tongues. Are you guys with me? Modern day people will start teaching you otherwise. No wonder the church of Jesus has become powerless, because we have chosen to ignore the very thing that has with it the association of power. Many people speak tongues today, but there is no power too, because they have learned it. As the Holy Spirit enabled them, not as you learn it. Not as you learn it. As the Holy Spirit what? And so when this teaching is done, we're going to pray. Next week we'll pray. And I want you to begin to desire to speak in tongues if you do not speak in tongues. Are you guys with me? And don't get discouraged. The Spirit divides and he wills it, but you must desire it. Are you with me? So in Acts chapter 2, we see the connection of being filled and the speaking in tongues. In Acts chapter 8, let's look at verse 18. Right? We're in Acts chapter 8. I want to pick up a few more verses with it because I want you to be able to see the connection. Verse 18. So the Holy Spirit has, the Bible says, they lay hands on them and they receive the Holy. Verse 18. And when Simon saw that through the laying hand of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them, that is Peter and John, money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you, because you taught that the gift of God could be purchased with money. Question, what did Simon see? The Bible never says it clearly here that they spoke in tongues, but I am 100% sure that there was something that was associated with the receiving of the Holy Spirit that made Simon say, "Jah, give me this whole thing. Give me power so I can do it too." Amen. Acts chapter 10. Here it was not in Samaria. So we see it in Jerusalem. We are seeing it in Samaria. Now let's go to Caesarea Philippi, where there are what I call Gentiles. Gentiles. And let's notice what is taking place. Acts chapter 10, from verse 44 to verse 48. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. Please notice, back in Acts chapter 2 in Jerusalem, they were in a prayer meeting. The Holy Spirit fell. In the book of Acts chapter 8, they laid hands on them, and the Holy Spirit fell. This time, somebody is preaching. Peter is preaching. And the Holy Spirit, what? Falls. I wanted to notice that he can fall any day, anytime, whatever, if you desire to have him. Are you with me? Verse 45, Acts chapter 10. And those of the circumcision, in other words, the Jews who went with Peter, who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit has been poured out on the Gentiles also. Wow, we thought that this was just for the Jewish people. But now they are seeing that it is not just for the Jewish people, but it is also for the, according to the word of God, if you are not born in Israel, you are a Gentile. Did we settle the matter? Verse 46, why did these people get astonished that they had received the Holy Spirit? Verse 46, everybody read that with me, shall we? Read. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then Peter answered. So Peter said a few things thereafter. Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? When they were filled, they spoke in tongues. They have been filled and they are speaking in tongues just as we have. And Peter is saying in verse 48, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay with them. There are those who think that unless there is water baptism, there cannot be Holy Spirit baptism. Notice that on Acts chapter 2 in Jerusalem, none of the apostles at a time, right, have had some of these experiences. You don't need to be baptized in water to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Are you guys with me? So there is a connection. Do you see the connection again? When they were filled, they... Come on, talk to me. When they were filled, they... It does not always mean that everyone who speaks in tongues is filled with the Holy Spirit, because as a language, people may find their way to learn it. You know, when I was growing up in church, they prayed for everybody. Everybody was receiving it but me, because I am the kind, if I don't understand something, you won't push me. So they will pray and they will put their hands, and sometimes they will turn my head, and then I'll hold their hands and take it off. And I said, my friend, stop moving my head. So I was becoming a nuisance. So at some point, just so they don't bother me, I started learning the names of pianos. Yamaha, Yoshito, Fujiji, Kog. Put it together. They thought I was speaking in tongues, but I wasn't. It was later on I was actually baptized. Are you guys with me? Are you seeing the connection? One more scripture, Acts chapter 19. So we are moving from Jerusalem to Samaria to Caesarea Philippi. Now we are going to Ephesus. We're going to Ephesus. Acts chapter 19. Let's look at verse 1. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what were you baptized?" So he reminds them that for the believer, it is not only water baptism, but it is the Holy Spirit, what? Baptism. So he said, which other baptism did you really? He says, and they answered, so they said, into John's baptism. That is water baptism. Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, Peter and John laid hands on the people and they received. Paul is now laying hands, the Bible says, on them, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. And they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Do you see the connection? In the word of two or three witnesses, a matter is established. I have given you more than two and three. So there is a connection. Now let's look at the controversy. What controversies exist about speaking in tongues? I will give you several of them. It doesn't mean that is all the controversies around. There are those who say that tongues is not for us today. It was for the apostles, but us, no. Some go as far as saying it has ceased. So everybody who speaks in tongues is making it up. I dare you. I tried that thing till the day he came over me. Then I realized tongues has not ceased. I used to say it too. Another controversy is that tongues should never be spoken without an interpreter. It is because we do not understand the different kinds of tongues. I will address it today. People say that tongues are of the devil and they will ruin you. In the book of Luke chapter 11, did Jesus say these words? "Even though all of you being evil, when your children ask you for bread, you would always give it to them. How much more shall your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit when you ask for it?" So, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it is not a demon. It is the Holy Spirit. Amen. Another controversy is that if I will receive tongues, I have to be baptized in water. We just saw that that's not true. Right? If one of the original apostles is not present, you can't receive the Holy Spirit. Paul was not part of the original apostles. He laid hands and they received it. Another controversy is that if I can pray in my natural language, why do I have to pray in tongues? If I can pray in English or German or Dutch or Twi or Ga or whatever language that you speak, if you can pray in it, why do I need to pray in tongues? We will find that out today. Another controversy is that tongues are not evidence of the Holy Spirit baptism. You just saw the connection. I said you just saw what? The connection. Now, let's look at the conviction. How you can come to a place of conviction. How you and I can come to a place. There are many people who speak in tongues, but they are not convicted about it. They are wishy-washy. How? If you want to arrive at a conviction about something, you will have to learn to use the scriptures and not hearsay. Sometimes, people in church have not read the Bible. They come to church, but they have not read the Bible. And I know it. Because sometimes you are sitting a couple down in marriage counseling, and they are talking, and you are pointing them to scripture, and they are telling you their feelings. And I'm saying your feelings are real, but the word of God says it's this way. What will you do? And those who just came and joined,
You are hoping that those who are already here knows it. They are living by hearsay.
So today I want to clear the air. I will take you back to scriptures so we can settle this matter.
Anytime you want to arrive at a conviction of a subject in the Word of God, please throw hearsay away and read the Bible. Tell the person sitting next to you, read the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3, because I want to show you why the scriptures is important. Write one scripture down. I will not read that. I will quote it, and then we'll read 2 Timothy 3. The book of Romans chapter 15, verse 4, the Bible says, through the comfort of the scriptures, we learn how to live life. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Everybody say doctrine. For reproof. Everybody say reproof. For correction. Say correction. And for instruction in righteousness. Why is the scriptures doing these four things? Verse 17 answers that question. He says that the man of God or the woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So the Word of God does four things in our lives. Number one, the Bible says God's Word is for doctrine. The word doctrine means teaching. I would define it another way. Please write it down. It is for what I call the way God wants things done. The order of God. God's Word shows you how God wants things done. Not the way your mama or your papa or your friends or your peer group wants you to do it. The Word of God shows you God's mind. How God wants something, what? Done. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. The Bible didn't say, husbands, love your wife if she loves you back. Because Christ has loved the church without the church loving him back. Christ died for the church, even though the church is not given into. So God's word cannot be skipped. It's time we have Christians who honor this word. The word of God is for teaching, for doctrine. Not denominational doctrine, but what is in the Bible. Wives, respect your... I have to equal opportunity employer. Wives, respect your own husband. Do you know why the Bible added the word own? Because it's easy to respect another person's husband, but your own. Because that's the guy you see his kaka shows. You see all things around him. Husbands, love your. He didn't say because of what they do. He says love them as Christ. And if all of us will go by the word of God, you will save me from 1,200 hours of counseling. Young people, this one goes for you. Flee youthful lust. This is how to walk. This is how to run. But flee is running quadrupled. The Bible didn't say, sit around young boy with a girl and looking at their breast and as hoping you will not touch. He says, flee. The word of God is for doctrine, teaching. Do I need to move on? That's why we thought we are dealing with the tongues. Why are we here? I'm trying to show you how the word of God must become the rule and the basis on which we judge this gift.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram. all at Covenant One Family.com.